Hare Krishna, dear devotees, can you hear me? Yes? Okay. I don't have any particular topic to speak on tonight. I was just going to continue from I lose track of time. I guess it was 2 days ago. Because I speak to a different group every day. I have to remember when I spoke to whom. But it was 2 days ago when I wanted to speak about or share some of the realizations that I've heard from other devotees. And I had written or had told you, I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it was to the English-speaking group that I had told that I had received some realizations from a conference that I'm on from the, it's called the SSGS. No, SGGS. I these things. Sannyas Guru GBC Sangha. Yeah, that's what it was. SGGS. And we have a Sangha every 2 years, and I'm on their mailing list. And they were sharing some realizations from other devotees about the current world situation. And I was, I believe, going to read it 2 days ago, but I ended up speaking longer than I expected from the Bhagavatam verse about Arjuna's remembrance of Krishna's instructions. And I didn't get to read what I had intended to read. And not only that, but then 2 days ago, I also, and yesterday also, requested devotees to please share realizations. And I gave different criteria for sharing their realizations. The first, something they have may have heard from another speaker online, and some realization the speaker had, and I asked them to please share that realization that they had heard and give the name of the speaker. And the second one was to share some realization they've read from Srila Prabhupada's books. And that was also in some way connected to the current world situation, wherein Srila Prabhupada gives either the cause or the solution for what's happening now. And the third was to share their own realization. The first was somebody else's realization, the second was from Prabhupada, and the third was to share their own realization of something they had heard online. And I said that I would appreciate it if devotees could submit something, and I may take some of them and share them here in this forum. And certainly I can't take all of them. And I also allowed, if they had fulfilled the requirements for the first three, then they could ask a question, the last. And then I would answer those questions probably, not very likely, online, because I didn't know how many questions to expect. Anyway, since I made that request, I've received approximately 70 responses. About half of them are in Russian, so it takes me a little time to read them. And some of them were English, some of them were Russian-English. And it's Russian-English, as I call when somebody who speaks Russian attempts to speak English. Sometimes that's more difficult for me to read than the Russian. So, Or it could be Google. It could be Google English. So I have, as I said, about 70 responses. I have more. Somebody pressed submit about 11 times. And so their response was submitted 11. I have 11 submissions from somebody, and somebody else submitted it about 6 times. But even without that, there's still 70. So thank you to those devotees. And as I had mentioned yesterday, practically, although yesterday, immediately after, I mentioned it yesterday, but it was 2 days ago. 2 days ago when I made this request, immediately afterwards, within 5-10 minutes, I received a spot response from Yadubha Prabhu, and I also received a response from Lakshmi Moni. And I was inspired by the fact that a god brother and god sister took it, my request, seriously. I didn't expect. I shouldn't say I didn't expect, but I expected that others would probably be more responsive in a more quicker way than they were. So I wanted to read something from them, especially since they both shared something from Srila Prabhupada. And I also wanted to read something from what I had tended to speak from 2 days ago, and that was from something that Druta Kamra had submitted, which I read yesterday. But for those of you who weren't there yesterday, and I'm assuming the English-speaking audience was not there yesterday, because it was for the Russian-speaking devotees. Therefore, I'm going to repeat that again today, and we'll speak a little bit, although there's not much to say, but I thought there were some nice realizations. So the first one is from Druta Kamra Prabhu. First realization. So one realization I've had is that no one except Krishna could arrange for something like what's happening. I am reminded of what Krishna did when Brahma stole his cowherd boyfriends and calves. He expanded himself into replicas of the boys and calves and kept up the show for a whole year with nobody noticing, until Balaram detected that Krishna was up to something. I like that. I spoke a little bit about that yesterday, that, you know, there's a, what's that verse in the first canto of the Bhagavatam? I oftentimes quote it. Nehyasyad kahichid rajan pumadveda vihitsitam. Yad vijigasya yukta muyanti kavayo pihi. That it was a verse spoken by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was both bewildered and lamenting, because he was thinking that the atrocities that he perceived that had taken place as a result of the Battle of Kurukshetra were all committed because of him, to establish him as emperor of the world. And he was lamenting, why did so many people have to be killed simply for me? And Bhishma Dev's answer was, nobody can understand the plan of Lord Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, still they are bewildered. And Prabhupada indicates in the purport of that verse a very nice point, that even though we may not be able to understand what is Krishna's plan, nonetheless, a devotee is somebody who's always ready to be obedient to Krishna's plan, even if he can't understand what it is, such as the Pandavas were, and such as many devotees described in the Bhagavatam are constantly absorbed in their submission to the will of the Lord. And whenever I quote this verse, I oftentimes think of it in a very simplistic way. An example is that if somebody is making plans about us, in general, if we hear that somebody's making a plan about us, that's including us, what to speak of is, which is going to create potential consequences for us, or which may put me in a potentially difficult situation or a bewildering situation. Even the fact that somebody's thinking about making a plan, which includes me, is something that's, it's hard to swallow. And usually our immediate reaction is when we hear about that is, how can you do something like this? When we find out that somebody made a plan for us and didn't include us. Of course, these days, that would be like something like that would really come out on Facebook as and be a scandal. But at the same time, when Krishna makes plans that include us, which includes everyone, our conviction and faith should be that whatever plan Krishna makes is all good, all perfect, and there's some reason behind it, and therefore, for a devotee, he's always simply keen to want to know and connect it, that it's Krishna's plan. We already discussed this at a previous talk, so I'm not going to go into it in so much detail of how to see this as Krishna's arrangement. Yes, we can look at many other secondary causes, but nothing, as Prabhupada emphasizes again and again, if we look at secondary causes, we should know ultimately that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. So anybody who knows that not a blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord must understand that somehow Krishna has given his sanction. And maybe for some, and we also talked about in a previous talk, and I won't go into in detail. I can't remember when I talked about it. Maybe it was just 2 days ago. Maybe it was a week ago. But I've lost track of time. But we gave the example of how the illusory energy works one way for the non-devotee and in a different way for the devotee. And we gave the example of Vidura, that when Duryodhana threw Vidura out of the palace and told to toss him out of the palace and leave him with only his breath. That was his statement. And Vidura, he took it as divine arrangement. It was finally an opportunity for him to sever his familial obligations with the palace because he was thrown out. Now he didn't have to stay there under obligation any longer. And he just said, that Krishna has sent me, set me free to travel to places of pilgrimage where he can absorb his consciousness and meditation on the Supreme Lord. So the illusory energy acted in one way in favor of Vidura, but it had acted in another way for Duryodhana, which was a source of his destruction, or one of the causes of his destruction, were the offenses that he had committed to Vidura, to Draupadi, to Pandavas. So if a devotee sees it, that this Krishna sanctioned it, that if Krishna sanctioned it, then although maybe he didn't orchestrate the whole thing, everything about it, but he sanctioned it. But for a devotee who sees everything connected to Krishna, then he sees it as Vidura sees it. He sees it, yes, Krishna's doing this for a good reason. And there's another, it's an interesting verse in this connection. It's a verse somebody sent in. Somebody sent in. I'm gonna read it. It's very much connected. It's a verse. Where is it? From the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. And it's very nicely connected to this point. Somebody sent this in as their realization of something they heard from Srila Prabhupada. That's connected to the current situation. And she wrote, and forgive me, it was written in Russian. I did my best to translate it into English. But since most of it was Prabhupada's purport, I think I got it. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Yes, it's she says in this Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story in the fourth canto with Maharaj Prithu when he wanted to complete his grand sacrifice, but Indra prevented him. And in the purport, and the verse says, my dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. I believe this is Brahma, speaking to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj had performed 99 horse sacrifices, and when he was attempting to perform his 100th horse sacrifice, then Indra, being envious, as the Bhagavatam states, he was envious of Prithu Maharaj. And because Indra was proud, Indra didn't want Prithu Maharaj to be renowned as the executor of 100 horse sacrifices, because he was already renowned as the person who executed 100 horse sacrifices. So therefore, when the 100th horse sacrifice was about to take place for Prithu Maharaj, Indra came in and he stole the horse and he took it away and went off into the sky. And I believe it was Atri Muni mentioned something about it. And then the son of Prithu Maharaj became very disturbed and he wanted to go and he wanted to kill Indra for his activities, but then he saw that Indra was dressed as a sannyasi, which is something that he had purposely done. And then the son of Prithu Maharaj returned without having killed him. And then because he felt he should give proper respect and not kill him because he thought he was a sannyasi. And then Atri Muni, he said, I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that a second attempt was made. And when a second attempt was made, then the son, again of Prithu Maharaj, he went, and he again, Indra was dressed as a sannyasi, as a saintly person. And again, the son of Prithu Maharaj returned, without having stopped Indra from stealing the horse. And then Prithu Maharaj became agitated. And Prithu Maharaj decided that he was going to go intervene and he was going to personally go and kill Indra, not for stealing the horse as much, but for impersonating a sannyasi. And therefore, Lord Brahma appeared on the scene. And Lord Brahma tried to explain to Prithu Maharaj that you should just understand if Indra has gone through these extremes, to do this, then and he'll if you go and kill him, then more extreme situations will arise. Better just simply accept what's happening as the will of the Lord. And therefore, this verse is spoken. That's a brief summary. This verse is spoken. Do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. Purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential, although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy. One should avoid counteracting such reversals, for the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection, we should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. I assume Prabhupada is referring to Matraspasha Stukontiya. Sitoshna Sukaduka Dagama Payana Nichastanks Titikshasvabharata. That just as happiness and appearance and happiness and distress appear and disappear like winter and summer seasons, they arise from sense perception and one should learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So I thought this is also an appropriate verse. And getting back to Druta Karma's realization, I don't want to lose that. Because he was saying that Krishna, I'm reminded of what Krishna did when Brahma stole his cowherd boyfriends and calves. He expanded himself into replicas of the boys and calves and kept up the show for a whole year with nobody noticing until Balaram detected that Krishna was up to something. I thought of this, and it's very appropriate that, yes, Krishna is up to something. We're starting to see little traces of what he's up to, and such as in putting the devotees in a situation to help them feel more dependent on him. And as we also have many times alluded to, that trying to rectify the situation on the planet because of so much exploitation that is going on the planet, and as much as it's hard to swallow, there's also, again and repeated again and again, due to sinful activities, such excessive sinful activities, then there has to be some reaction. Prabhupada's talked about it in his books, in so many places, in his lectures. He's you can't even use the word, he's alluded to it. He's outright just making it clear, not only then, but what the consequences will be in the future. And therefore, it's another way of the plan, the will of the Lord, being executed. If we try to see it in that way, that ultimately it's sanctioned by the Lord to fulfill so many purposes. If we try to calculate all the different purposes that Krishna is trying to fulfill at once, it's impossible. I mean, I've tried that many times, even just in reading different sections of the Bhagavatam and seeing how, there's no scientist on this planet that can create a computer that can calculate the simultaneous, what's the word when I'm not a computer specialist, but a program sequence. Algorithms, yes, the algorithms. There's no computer program, and they take great pride in their big programs that can do so many things in a split moment. But Krishna doesn't even have to wait a split moment. He fulfills, so many things. At what to speak of? He says in the Bhagavad Gita, I know living entities, I know the past, present, and all things yet to come. And me, nobody knows. So there's no question of being able to calculate what he's doing. But he's doing it, and whatever he does, there's a reason. And somehow, we're part of that plan. Obviously, if we just see and make the connection, then as Prabhupada said in that verse, Nihasa Kahe Chidrajan, Humaveda Vidhitsitam, he said that instead of trying to fully understand and comprehend, why did Krishna do this? Why did he make this plan? And we may not be able to fully understand it, but we should just simply try to be obedient to what his plan is. Just as Krishna had a plan when he had a plan when he stole the cowherd, and when Brahma stole the cowherd boys, and he expanded himself into all the calves and cows. He had a plan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he didn't want Balaram to be present, and he didn't want Balaram to know. And the reason why he didn't want Balaram to know is because he felt that Balaram would feel such great separation from his close friend like Sridham. So he didn't even reveal it. Yoga Maya acted in such a way to serve Krishna's purpose, to even cover Lord Balaram. So it took him almost a whole year before he started scratching his head when he saw all the cows running to their calves, and he saw all the cowherd men running to the cowherd boys with apparently even greater affection. And not only that, Balaram was starting to think, now wait a minute, the cows are running to calves who are no longer even taking milk from the cows. They're the older calves. There's many more calves that have appeared over the course of last year, but the cows are showing more intense desire towards the older calves than they are to the newer calves. And Balaram started to look at this, and he started to wonder, what is, and then this must be the power of the illusory potency, my brother's illusory potency, Yogamaya. And even Balaram couldn't figure it out until just, I think Bhagavatam says, about 5 or 6 days before everything became revealed. Balaram started, he noticed that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't give an exact time of how many days it was because he was in so much ecstasy that he lost track of time. So he said 5 or 6 days. Said somehow 5 or 6 days before it happened. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gave an explanation. He said that Yogamaya was Balaram came to understand what was happening in 4 different phases of Yogamaya's lifting her covering from him. I can't remember the details of what those 4 phases were, but the point is, I think the first phase is when he saw the cowherd men going to the cowherd boys, and he saw the cows going to the older calves. That was the first phase. The second phase is when he was perceiving that Krishna's Yogamaya potency had even covered him, and how wonderful it was that Krishna's Yogamaya potency had even covered him. And then the third phase, I can't remember, has something to do also with the Yogamaya potency. And the fourth phase is when he fully figured it all out and said, this is my brother. everywhere. Everything was revealed. That was the fourth phase. And it took some time. So he's using that example here that it's Krishna had a plan. Krishna has a plan, and we may not be able to know everything. May come off in layers. First layer is sinful reactions need to be somehow be taken care of. The second layer is the planet Earth, the Bhumi, needs to get her some relief. The third layer is the devotees really need to have some greater shelter. Then they become too neglectful in their sadhana, and they become too forgetful in the association with devotees. And now they're being forced into association in various ways. And now they're beginning to realize, you know, what have I been missing? I've been, you know, these different layers we may come to see. There's something behind all this. So I really liked that. I really appreciated Jhutakamra's explanation. I was going to read Yadubhai Prabhu's. I'll read Yadubhai Prabhu's because he's there. I can see him right now. And I'll just read something that he wrote. It was very nice. I won't get to any, hardly, and I won't get to the other ones because we need to chant some japa. I always want to try to keep that in the forefront. So Yadubhai, especially for the devotees this is your morning time. This is your morning time for chanting your rounds. I want to keep that point of focus present. Jhutakamra had another realization. Maybe we'll get to that some other time. But Yadubhai Prabhu said from a lecture that he heard, I guess it was two mornings ago, from Los Angeles, May 28, 1972, Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, 10th verse. And he says, there are personal solutions to the present crisis and broad solutions. Regarding a personal solution, this is in line with the answer to question number one. Yadubhai, after I read this, if you would like to say a little bit more, we can unmute you. No pressure, but if you'd like to, and it's yours, realization, then, and if you'd like to share something, we'll open it up. You just let me know, just raise your hand or nod your head. Huh? Oh, you're already unmuted. But let me read it first. I lost my place. He said, you were saying that there are personal solutions to the present crisis and broad solutions. Regarding a personal solution, this is in line with the answer to question number one. Prabhupada said, quote, and Ambarish Maharaj was a devotee. He did not know anything. He was simply depending on Krishna. So just see who is powerful. Even the yogis are not so powerful as the devotees. Why? Because devotees fully surrendered to Krishna. Fully surrendered means if Krishna likes, he will save me. Otherwise, I don't try for myself. I have to simply serve Krishna. That's all. And Krishna takes charge of your saving. End of quote. And then Yadubhai Prabhu wrote, I come back to this again and again as a position of real peace, simply depending on Krishna to do whatever he likes with me. Of course, as you many times stress, I guess referring to me, that we should take all caution to protect ourselves in this crisis. But I always emphasize that I say, stay safe. And I say, this applies both materially and spiritually. Stay safe. Did you want to add something, Yadubha Prabhu?
Maharaj, I think Prabhupada said it all, and the japa time is very valuable for everyone, so I think we should move on. Thank you.
Okay. So, we will take Yadubha Prabhu's cue. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasini Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Just before I make my announcement, I was smiling because during my talk about how we have to be accept Krishna's plan, even though we may not be able to fully understand it, I received a message from the U.S. State Department. It came during the talk. I'm registered with the United States State Department. I had to register because I'm only here on a visa, and I don't have residency. And they sent all flights, all repatriation flights to the United States have been suspended until further notice. I didn't read the whole thing, but I thought it was interesting that that came during my talk. So... I have a visa that's valid for a few months, 6 months actually. I have a 10-year visa that's valid for 6 months at a time. So I don't have to worry about anything immediately. But I have residency in other places, but I couldn't go there. There were no flights. And although I did have the opportunity to take repatriation flights before, somehow they didn't interest me. So maybe we'll see what Krishna's plan is. Okay, announcement. I made this announcement yesterday to the Russian-speaking devotees, and then I realized it was probably the wrong forum to make it. And I thought I would just make announcement in this forum because we have some English-speaking devotees in this forum. I might have mentioned, I can't remember to whom I mentioned it, so forgive me if I'm repeating it, but I've had several times I've been requested by Nittai Gaura Sundar Prabhu in the United States, devotee who listens every day to my recordings on YouTube. And he's been a requesting me to please somehow put together a book, and he wants it to be called The Nectar of Lockdown. And he was hoping that these talks that I've been giving could be transcribed, and he was hoping that it could be done as quickly as possible because they're relevant now. And he said, whatever it costs, Maharaj, just let me know, and I'll take care of the costs. And I mentioned this, as I said, I can't remember if it was this forum or another forum, or the other forum, but I mentioned it yesterday, that we have a lot of devotees who are already worked on the transcriptions. In fact, I just found out yesterday that almost all of them are already done. But we need editors, English editors, anybody who may have some time and who has some experience to edit these. It wouldn't be final edit, but especially when I'm speaking to the Russian-speaking devotees, I'm redundant. I have to be redundant. I know I'm redundant. I'm much more redundant than when I'm speaking straight English. But and therefore, half of the talks are spoken to the Russian-speaking devotees, and a lot of those redundancies have to be taken out. That's part of the editing process. And if anybody has any experience, if you know anybody who has any experience, I told Nitai Gaurasundara Prabhu that we generally have volunteers who do most of these things, but we don't have a lot of English editor volunteers. And he said, but I said, we have volunteers and we don't require any funds for volunteers. We want to do this on a strictly volunteer basis. But we'll use his donation. And what we did use this donation is we created an online platform, which is very, very effective for collaboration and for work on editing. It's much more effective than Google, which we've been using for years. It costs not that much for each user. And so that's what we've done with his donation. And if you know anybody, or if you have time to do some editing, that's my humble request on behalf of Nitai Gaurasundara. He's been, I think at least three times, he's asked me. And if you know somebody, just put it in the chat. Or if you want to volunteer yourself, put your name in the chat. And our editors will contact you and we'll start farming out. We have one devotee, Dhananjaya Pandit in Italy, who's been editing for me for quite some time. And he's very enthusiastic about the project. We have somebody else who's enthusiastic but physically incapable of doing it right now. And we're waiting to see what her doctor says, whether or not she can do it. And we have our Gauranga Press manager, Shiradha, who says she's ready to help, but she also works for the government, and her time has to be the Canadian government, especially during the lockdown. She's quite busy, but she says she's still ready to do whatever is necessary. But if there's somebody who has some time and experience, please offer to help in this way. And as I said, Mitch, put your name in the chat and somebody will contact you. And I think that's everything I wanted to say, because I said it yesterday and I realized that everyone I was speaking to were Russian speakers and we need English editors, and preferably those whose English is their first language. Sometimes even those who have English as a first language, even though have no editing experience, can be more effective than those whose English is their second language. So that's my announcement. I think I covered all the points. Let me just check to see if I covered all the points. The last point I wanted to mention is that I've been thinking that maybe we'll try to do it for the month of April. Tomorrow's the last day of April. And not that I'm going to end, but I'm going to try to put focus that this publication will be for the talks that were given in the month of April, and we'll try to publish the talks for the month of April. And then maybe we'll do another publication in May. I don't know. I don't know what Krishna's plan is with this. I don't know how long I'm going to go on speaking every day. But that was the only thing. So that's it. We can end here. And we can all chant together. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Rama. Thank you.